salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, delighted to welcome our final guest of the day, because Professor Susanna Lipscomb is an award-winning historian, author and broadcaster. And she's here to tell us about the murky history of royal scandals. Welcome to the show, Susanna.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
Now, this is the second series of The Royals, A History of Scandals, from Channel 4, isn't it? Because I remember watching the first one.
That's right. Yes, we're back.
You're back. Brilliant. When does it start?
Well, I'm not sure when this show is airing in Spain, but we have aired in the UK already. And we've also, whilst I'm on today, as it so happens, I've got another show starting tonight as well, so which is called Ancient Autopsy. So it seems to be a huge number of things starting at once. It's like bosses, isn't it?
It certainly is. You keep him busy. Well, I remember in the first one, a couple of things. I mean, I won't go into some of them because some of them aren't for it for this show probably. But you covered everything from George VI's insatiable appetite to spending to Queen Victoria's uncle. Did he really murder his valet?
That's right. Yes. And we're back with more murder. So we're going to that old chestnut about the princes and the tower. We're thinking about Mary, Queen of Scots, and her secretary, David Rizzio, who was murdered. William Rufus, so William the Conqueror's son. And also the question of whether George V died of natural causes. But yes, there is also quite a lot of scandal and sex and crime, as well as, you know, cold-blooded murder.
It's very, very interesting. Very interesting. You mentioned the two young boys in the tower. That was never actually solved, was it? It was 12-year-old Edward V and his 9-year-old brother Richard, Duke of York. Is it still unsolved?
It is still unsolved. You know, because actually there are people who argue that at least one, if not both, of the boys escaped, and that there was no murder, and that's why it cannot be solved as a murder crime, which is fascinating. So the idea going around amongst the people who call themselves Ricardians, great supporters of Richard III, is that perhaps Edward V or Richard, Duke of York, escaped from the tower and then was the person who's known as Perkin Warbeck, who staged a kind of comeback, in their view, to try and take the throne of England. Was he a pretender? Was he actually the rightful king? This is the question.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Prince George, who was Queen Elizabeth II's uncle, who was Kiki Preston? He had some sort of relationship with someone called Kiki?
Yes, Kiki Preston was a member of the Happy Valley set, as they're called. So this is in what was then a colony of Kenya. There were these groups of expats who seem to have passed their time drinking and drug taking and generally having a merry old time of things. And one of these was Kiki Preston, who came to UK, Prince George. So this is the Prince George born in 1902, met her, seems to have fallen completely in love with her. And I mean, he had a fairly colourful past. He seems to have had liaisons with all number of people, including possibly Noel Coward.
Oh, wow.
He went out onto the town dressed up to the nines and not necessarily in male attire. And then when he met Kiki Preston, he seems to have fallen completely head over heels. But the effect that she had on him was very damaging, because it seems to have extended to her love of drugs, essentially. And so this is before we get to the scandal that we'll, you know, later know, of course, of his brother Edward and Wallace Simpson. But this is a moment where it really looks like this prince has to go into rehab. And it, the amazing thing about this, of course, is they didn't have the news cycle we have today. And a lot of it can be suppressed, has been suppressed and hidden from public view. So you kind of have to piece together the bits of evidence here to figure out what was going on. But this man disappears from public view for a couple of years after this scandalous affair and probably is drying out somewhere.
And how do you do your research, Susanna? Because, you know, some things we already know, but there's some shocking things along the way, and I wonder how you find them out.
Well, of course, I'm working with an absolute wonderful team of scholars that I'm speaking to. Actually, you know, that with it comes to Prince George, it's June Willington who'd done the research on this, broke this case. But I mean, I think what's really important with that is that certain archives get opened after a period of time. And so after 50 years or 100 years, then suddenly there's fresh new evidence and we can go back and reassess things. And that's really important. So new evidence is vitally important. But that's true even in the case of the princes in the Tower. You wouldn't believe it, but in the last year, new evidence has been found in the Netherlands that links, you know, Turkin Warbeck to possibly being one of the princes in the Tower because of the use of troops and a statement about who they're being provided for and a jewel that's in somebody's will. I mean, so what's amazing as a historian, you know, I and a lot of my colleagues, we're coming across stuff all the time in the archives. And some of this is about new technology today, because actually we are now able in our lifetimes to process material that other people would have taken their, you know, several lifetimes to get their heads around. We can do word searches on things. We can use technology to help us decipher documents. But even more, it's just a practical fact of the thing that so many archives are scanning their documents. So sat at home here, I can get access to documents in Spain, in Simancas, and I can look into the archives there from the UK. And that is just, it transforms our study of things.
Yeah. I would imagine the internet, like you've just explained, can help, but does it hinder as well? Because anyone can put anything out there, can't they?
Yes, they can. And actually also the other thing I think that we might not imagine first off that it does is it can blinker our view. So if you process a document by, say, doing a word search on it, then you're missing out all that stuff you would have learned if you just did the long, hard slog through it. Mm. The unforeseen treasures that you can find out that way, because you don't know what you don't know, as you know, the unknown unknowns. So I think that actually there are real dangers in the technology as well as advantages.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just going back to the subjects in the programme, Edward the Seventh and the sex chair.
I knew there was no way we could not talk about this one.
I'm dying to know.
So Bertie, as he's known, Dirty Bertie, he had a lot of mistresses and he spent time in Paris. And there he had made for him a specially commissioned sex chair. And it's really worth finding a picture and having a look at it. It looks a bit like a sort of Edwardian cross trainer, and you do have to stare at it for a little while to try and figure out what went where. But I think the key thing to bear in mind is it may not have just involved two people. I think that explains some of the intricacies of this sex chair. But anyway, it's really designed for later in his life when
he needed to sit down.
Supporting himself is not so easily done. Maybe he needs to hold on to something.
Yeah, we'll just say, look at a picture and work it out for yourself. Work it out for yourself. Or watch the programme.
Hours of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Do you cover the theft of the crown jewels at all?
Yes, we do. This is a remarkable story. So, you know, the thing, these were the new crown jewels who'd just been recommissioned after Charles II came to the throne. And in 1671, a man who called himself Colonel Blood stole them. And he did this really by making friends with the sort of fairly geriatric man who's got charge of the crown jewels and befriending him and promising to marry his daughter. And so he's let in to see the crown jewels and essentially tries to stuff them down his trousers and run away with them with a couple of friends. And they almost make it. That's the extraordinary thing. It's so very close. So after this, the arrangements for storing the crown jewels get massively ramped up in terms of security. But there is this moment. And what's also interesting about this is the outcome of it, in that you'd expect that someone who'd attempted to steal the crown jewels would actually have been put straight in prison, possibly executed. This surely is treason. But that does not happen. And the guest I spoke to about this, Professor Nadine Ackerman, has got a really compelling theory about why this might be, which is to do with the fact that she thinks that Colonel Blood was actually a spy for the British government. Anyways, this is fantastically intriguing and interesting. You'll have to watch the program to get the full story, because it's just such an interesting idea. But there is a real question. He goes to see the king. He demands to see the king. And then for some reason, the king lets him off. Why?
He was let off completely, just a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, not even that. Wow. Not even that. You know, it's just extraordinary that he gets off so much.
It is. There has to be a reason. We'll have to watch the programme. And one final one. Tell me about James VI and Esme Stuart.
Yes. And now this is interesting because this is one of a couple of cases of what we might call grooming that we look at in this series. And James VI was, you know, an orphan from a very young age. At least his father died in an explosion. Mary, Queen of Scots, of course, executed by Elizabeth I, and James becomes King of Scotland. But in these years where he's, you know, separated from his mother and, you know, effectively orphaned, he's brought up by a harsh man called George Buchanan, who's his governor. And then in comes Esme Stuart, who's a cousin, who's French, and who seems to have been this great influence on the young boy. But the evidence suggests that it may not have been entirely platonic. There's a huge age gap, around 20 years between them. But some of the language that's used, and it's really hard to tell because we're trying to access 17th century, 16th century language and what this means about the nature of the relationship between them. But it seems sexual. And what we know about James is that in later life, although he does marry, produces heirs, Charles I amongst them, he certainly has lots of close male favourites. And it seems that possibly Esme Stuart may have been his sexual awakening. But what was Stuart's motivation? It seems to have been influence and power around the throne. And that's quite startling, really.
Yeah. I remember watching the, I think it was the Sky Atlantic drama, Mary and George, and they clearly said in that, explained, well, not explained, but showed you that James was probably bisexual.
Yes, and I think that's right. And what's, I suppose, strange, I mean, maybe explicable, but for years, historians have just been very guarded in their language and always talked about favourites, his male favourites. And I suppose it is hard to conclude what anyone's doing behind closed doors, and we can't assume they're lovers. But he certainly treats them as if they are his lovers. And so now there is much more of a kind of claiming of that bisexuality and being a bit more upfront about it. It's really probable that we can say. Maybe we can't say it's definite, but we can say, look, it's highly likely.
Yes, yes, of course. And when you said, Susanna, about you trying to sort of translate 16th century language, how do you do that? Because, I mean, I've seen in some of the programmes that you've done, the writing is beautiful, but you can't really tell what they're saying.
Well, that's just a matter of time on task. With handwriting, it's about getting your eye in. And so when I was doing my master's and my doctorate, my supervisors spent time with me teaching me it, but also they just made me sit in front of it and stare at it for long enough. And in the end, it starts to come good and you start to recognize the shapes of the letters that they're making. And then also you get more familiar with the way that they spelt things or misspelt them or the kind of phrasing that they might use. And so you start to kind of be able to decipher it more and more quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just like everything, it's practice.
I think it's such a shame. I heard somebody saying the other day about their child starting school, moving countries and starting school in the UK. And they said, look, he can speak English, but he can't actually write English. And the head teacher said, it doesn't matter, they all type it now anyway. And I'm thinking, oh, that's heartbreaking. I love to see beautiful calligraphy. What about writing birthday cards?
Yes, no, I mean, I'm a great fan of the written word and ink. But I also used to say to my students when I was teaching in a university, I would say, unless you've got good, genuine reasons for, you know, accessibility that you need to use a computer and type your notes, I strongly urge you to write your notes on my lectures by longhand because it transforms the way you process it. If you type, you're collecting, sound waves. If you write, you have to process it in your brain through your fingers and make a shorter version of it. So you actually have already processed it once. You've already learnt it a bit more once. And then you go back and read your notes and you learn it again. And so your brain is translating it each time for you, which we don't get when we're typing things all the time.
Yeah. Such a shame. Such a shame. Well, it's really interesting to watch. So it's Channel 4 and it's the second series of The Royals. This is about the murky history of British royals. If people want to find out more about that, and I know you've written many other books, Suzanne, and you have a podcast as well. Do you have a website?
Yes, I'm at SusannaLipscomb.com and the podcast is called Not Just the Tudors, which is what it says on the tin. So it's about the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, but lots of Tudors, but not just the Tudors. So it's a history around the world.
Great stuff. It's been my absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thank you for joining us today.
An absolute joy. Thank you so much, Lena.
Thanks, Susanna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.